morning, church, and happy Sabbath. I'm happy that you're here. I'm glad to see a lot of faces that I haven't seen in a while. I see the Duran family, Natalie and her mother and other family members. If there's anyone here visiting for the first time, can you raise your hand? Welcome. What's your name?
My name's Kofi.
Kofi? And you're coming from?
Ghana.
Welcome. Anyone else? God bless you all. This morning we're going to talk about, it's actually religious. I'm going to use this mic, Edwin. Jan. I'm going to talk about, it's religious liberty oriented sermon. It's not the your average religious liberty sermon. You'll see why. But I hope that through it, we'll be able to think a little more about what's going on in the world today, how it affects us, and how we, as the scripture reading went, are to be the light of the world. If you come to Sabbath School, and here's a plug for Sabbath School, we'd like to see as many people as are here right now in Sabbath School at 9:15, because we study and talk about things that we don't get to talk too much about. And we get to talk about those things here, not only as part of the lesson, which is very important, but we get to dialogue and talk about the things that are happening in the world. I know, for my part, the Sabbath School here for the collegiate class, we always try to make that Sabbath School relevant to today's world and what's going on in the world today. Is there a lot going on in the world today?
Yes.
All right. So the sermon's title is Shiny Objects, and I'm going to channel Jan for a moment. Maybe I should... always uses this, so I should follow. Did I hit the wrong button? Yeah, I think I did. Yes, okay. I don't know if you can read that, but I'm channeling Jan because he always starts with a definition of something that he's speaking about. Now, I just happened to Google shiny objects just to see what it would say. And I found that there is shiny objects syndrome. There's a syndrome for everything, right? So there's a shiny object syndrome. I don't know if you can read that, but and I recognize it because I do this. Shiny object syndrome is defined as the attraction to objects that exhibit a glassy, polished, gleaming, or otherwise shiny appearance. Sometimes, as simple as a reflection in your peripheral vision may easily distract your attention. You understand that, right? And it makes sense. You're driving, you're paying attention, and then all of a sudden you see something in the peripheral vision, and you look, and next thing you know, you just, you know, crashed into the car in front of you. I hope that doesn't happen to you often, but if it does, you just, you know. So that's shiny objects. Now, I found that the context of these shiny objects is that in business, they're talking about shiny objects because what happens is that you're trying to get something done at work, and then you get distracted by something. I actually saw an article this week that says that bosses are the number one distractions of employees. And I know from personal experience. I'm doing something very important, and my boss will send me an email, look into this. And I have no way of knowing, is this more important than what I'm doing, less important? How do I determine that? I can't get in touch with him. I can, you know, he hardly ever answers my emails or texts or Skype or whatever it is. So you know, you get distracted and you don't get things done. So the context of these shiny objects that I'm talking about are in the context of religious liberty. Now, if I asked you, what is religious liberty? I suspect that you'll be able to tell me, and I'll get pretty much the answer that I think we all think of in an Adventist church, which is, what is freedom to worship? We usually think about religious liberty in the context of the Sabbath and Sabbath worship and changes that may be coming in the near future or will come at some point, but we're aware of these changes that will come that will cause us as Christians to have to make a choice to do what we know we're supposed to do or maybe not do what we're supposed to do, right? I had, I'll share a little experience that I had about that that led me to think of what, how easy it is to not be sure what you're supposed to do. So we're going to talk about the breakdown of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego incident, which is a religious liberty incident, right? Right. And we're going to talk about some current issues in religious liberty and how to navigate today's highly charged socio-political environment. That should be fun. Yeah. And how to keep the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? Jesus Christ. Okay. So with that in mind, I want to start by, that's cut off a little bit on the left, but that's the start of the U.S. Declaration of Independence. Oh, it's good to hear? Okay, good. And it says, we're familiar with this, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. I have a hard time with that word. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We all are familiar with that, right? So one thing that right away we should remember, it's in the Declaration of Independence, is that we don't get these rights from our government. It says right there that they come from our creator, right? So it's not our government that grants them, but our government in the United States, we believe that we were formed to be aware of these rights and make sure that we adhere to these rights and allow these rights to everyone. Now, do these rights, even though they're in the Declaration of Independence of the United States, do they apply to every citizen of the world? Yes, right. A person somewhere else in another country doesn't have to adhere by any of our laws or anything else, but we believe that they have the same rights to all these things that anyone has, because they're not United States rights, they are God's rights. And that's the start of religious liberty, right? God allows us to choose him or not choose him. We have the right. We have the right to freedom of choice, all that, and everyone else does. Okay, I can't impose my rights on you. My rights end where your face begins. Right? Not really, but that means if I can swing my hand all I want, I'm free to do that. But the moment my hand comes close to Winston's face, then he has rights that I'm infringing upon, right? All right. I already covered that they come from the government. Now, we must be careful to protect these rights. And that reminds us of the story of Jacob and Esau. What happened with that? What rights did Esau have? Birthrights. He was born. There was nothing he could do about it. He was born first, so he automatically got birthrights. But he took them for granted, and one day when he was hungry, he forfeited his birthright and gave it to Jacob. So we must not give up these rights. Now, let's look at Daniel 3, but I want to look for shiny objects, things that will distract us from what we should be looking at. All right? You get that? Had you been in the crowd, what would have been the shiny objects? Okay? Oh, you can see that, right? Okay. That's cut off on mine. All right. The first verse, can someone read Daniel 3, verse 1, please? Daniel 3, verse 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter because it's very long, but we know the story, and I just want to pick up a few things here and there. So the first verse of Daniel 3, if someone could read that. Yeah, so it was, if you remember, This image was kind of a replica of another image. What was the difference between this image that was made out of gold and the image that this one was based on? What was the difference? Yes, the real dream one, which was real, but it was in a dream, the one that this one was based off of was not all of gold. It had gold, it had iron, it had clay, it had silver, and it had clay and iron, okay? So this one was fully gold because King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to aggrandize himself and think that he could, you know, he ruled the world. He let the head of gold, which was his kingdom, go to his head, and now he builds this statue of gold, fully gold, and he, so the shiny objects here is gold. It's shiny, obviously. It's expensive. It's beautiful. Most people seek after gold. Would you agree? I mean, if someone gave you an ounce of gold, you wouldn't reject it, right? I mean, you would say, oh, thank you. You would pocket it and, you know, make sure that they don't change their minds, and it's good to have gold. So, but in this story, we just want to think of gold as something that's maybe distracting us from, you know, if we had been there, would that image of gold cause us to not pay attention to what else was coming, right? That's what I'm trying to get us to think about. In verse 2, the king summons a number of people, all from his government. I'm going to go through the list. Satraps, I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, all other provincial officials, and basically those are the powerful and well-connected. So when we think of those names now, and of course we don't have satraps or prefects, but we have governors and advisors and all the others we recognize, we usually hold them in high esteem, sometimes, but they do wield a lot of influence and power, and that they can make laws and they can make our lives better or miserable. So we pay attention to that, our politicians, right? Verses 4 and 5, then they were asked to bow down when the music started. And it was a lot of people, all the politicians and everyone who was there. And then the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were part of the crowd, and they were being asked to bow down. And everybody was doing it, right? They were the only people, three of them, I'm assuming there were thousands of people there. They're the only ones who didn't bow down. But some people could have seen the bowing down as well. You know, everyone's doing it, I'll do it. I can tell you, I've done that. Maybe not, I haven't bowed down to idols. But you go to a place that you don't know what the rituals are or what the traditions are, and all of a sudden everyone stands up. What do? You stand up. Okay, so maybe some people just bow down because, oh, everyone's doing it. They didn't even think about it. I'm not really worshiping, but I'll bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not do that. And another shiny object was the fire. Now, I think that we would all pay attention to. The fire, and I'm sure everyone here has gotten burned at some point or another, right? A little burn here and there. It's very painful. I know when I see people who have obviously been burned throughout their bodies, and I've heard that it's very painful. So I think all of us would have looked and said, I don't want to go into that fiery furnace. I certainly don't. And I'm not saying that anyone would do that here, but we could easily try to think, well, you know, I'll just stretch and, and just make believe that you're not really bowing, but doing it because you want to avoid the fire. All right, so I'm just giving you, just talking about the fact that there are a lot of shiny objects around us that are causing us not to pay attention to what ultimately happened. We know the rest of the story. We're not going to go over it, but in case you don't know the story, I'm going to quickly say that what happened next is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow to the image. they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Before they were thrown in, the king, who was very angry, and by the way, it's interesting too in the story, if you read through it, that all those influential people that we read, the satraps and the precepts and all those people, they were the I always thought that they were the ones who accused or that showed the king that the three had not bowed, but it wasn't them who did it. It was the astrologers. Interesting. I'm not saying anything about it other than interesting. The astrologers were the ones who kind of threw them under the bus. All right, so the king throws them into the fire, and what happens? They don't burn, and another figure appears in the furnace that the king recognizes as the Son of God. And I'm sorry, I skipped ahead because I wanted to say something very important. The three young men said the following. They said, "We will not bow to your idols. We're fine with going into the fiery furnace. God will protect us. But even if he doesn't protect us, we still won't bow down." And they didn't bow down. They went into the fiery furnace. And we know the rest of the story. The same can and will happen to many of us. The same has happened to many of us. Maybe not a fiery furnace. I've heard stories right here about Sabbath issues and work-related Sabbath issues that people stood firm and they were able to win and not have to do what they were being forced to do. We know very many stories like that. So that still happens today and can certainly happen in the future when it comes to that. Now, Satan is trying to replace God, his love and his power, with his own shiny version of everything. Satan is trying to do that. It's not very obvious at times. Many times these things look a lot nicer, a lot better than what God offers. But just know that behind the scenes, Satan is constantly trying to push us to pick the wrong item, pick the shiny item, pick the easy item, make the easy choice. And if we aren't aware of these choices that we're being forced to make every day that are impactful to our eternal life, I suggest that we can easily get to the fiery furnace, and because we've already made so many choices that weren't the right choices, we get to the fiery furnace and we just turn around and say, "All right, I'll do it." So Satan uses these shiny objects, these distractions, and I get into some of those, to make us do this instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing, what we know is right that we should be doing. Ellen White writes in Great Controversy, "From the very beginning of the great controversy in heaven, it has been Satan's purpose to overthrow the law of God. It was to accomplish this that he entered upon this rebellion against the Creator and thought he was cast out, and though he was cast out of heaven, he has continued the same warfare upon the earth to deceive men and to lead them to transgress God's law. Is the object which he has steadfastly pursued. Whether this be accomplished by casting aside the law altogether or by rejecting one of these of its precepts, the result will be ultimately the same. He that offends in one point manifests contempt for the whole law. His influence and example are on the side of transgression. He becomes guilty of all." And one more quote. And we know, as we mentioned before, traditionally, when we talk about religious liberty, most of the time we're talking about Sunday blue laws and what's going to happen in the future. I want to think for us, I'm trying to for us to think about what happens now that leads to that point, so that when we are confronted with the fiery furnace, we've already made good choices getting to that point. Because if we wait for the Sunday blue laws to drop, if that's all we're waiting for, and it's too late. You know, Yes. All right. We should now be going, doing, okay, so we should now be doing our very best to defeat this Sunday law. So we do that already. We have a religious liberty department. We are very much aware of what's going on when it comes to that. But this statement is the one that I want to concentrate on. The best way to protect about the Sabbath, the best way to do this will be to lift up the law of God and make it stand forth in all its sacredness. This must be done if the truth triumphs. So what I think that this is saying is that as we look, let's just look at the Ten Commandments. When we look at the Ten Commandments, as it relates to Sunday worship and and the blue laws, and you look at the Fourth Commandment, right? So if we're looking just at the Fourth Commandment, and it's all about the Fourth Commandment, it's in our name, Seventh-day Adventist and all that, what else? What are the other commandments saying, and how are we living according to those commandments? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, I believe that because of the Fourth Commandment, because the Fourth Commandment is so important, and as we just read before in the previous quote from Ellen White, that all the commandments are united, and you can't just take one and one is more important, and you break one, you broke them all. Because it's so important, the Fourth Commandment is the only one that, as a church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it links us to the God of creation. And I've already seen in other churches where, creation is not such a, I don't know, it might have happened a different way, I'm not sure, And the moment you start picking and choosing, again, you get to the fiery furnace, you're done. You turn around. So it's important to uphold the whole law. There is a way that appears, this is Proverbs 14:12, and we know this verse very well. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. God's way is better than the world's way. Always. God's way is better than the world's way. Always. Society is obsessed with social issues such as gender issues, race issues, health issues, moral issues, etc., where our biblical way of looking at these issues contradicts with the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials. I just made the link. You saw that? I made the link to the Daniel 3. But you see, those were shiny objects. There are shiny objects today that are coercing us in the way we live to adhere by social laws, traditional things, the traditions of man, as the Bible calls it. And we have to be very careful and have our eyes wide open so we can see what's behind these things. What's behind door number one? What's behind door number two? It's a nice door, but what's behind that door? So again, our society is obsessed with gender issues, race issues, health issues, moral issues, most of us, I'm sure, are on Facebook or Twitter, and we know what's going on in the world. We see the news from something happens across the world. We can see it immediately. We can see the pictures of it immediately. The other day, this week, there was an accident. Did you all hear about the accident on 23? Who saw the video? How many people saw the video? It's a video that you can't unsee. It's a bad video. Okay, there was an accident. For those of you who don't know, and this is my point, I was at work. I heard about it on the radio that there was an accident on 23. I'm saying, why is New York radio covering an accident, car accident on 23. Well, it was a serious thing. Three people died, but it was just the way it was a freak accident, kind of. But we saw it on video. It was because there were so many cameras all over that there were cameras at the Mazda dealer, and it captured the whole thing. And it was awful, right now, people all over the world can see that video of something that happened on Route 23 3 days ago. All right, that's the point. Okay. So we must be, just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, we must be careful to follow God. To Bill, you were going to make a comment, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Complete thing. God puts it in perspective what happened to each kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. Thank you. So then as a church, how do we influence our society by bringing the light? You know, the scripture reading that Lorelei read, I always say, it didn't say you could be light, you should be light. What is it? What did it say? You are the light. Now, the light. Why are we the light? If Christ is in us, we are definitely the light, right? So Christ needs to be in us. How is Christ in us? By his word. We internalize his word. If we are immersed in his word, if we are following him, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes, right? If we're following the Lamb wherever he goes, we are being light. Adelma. By his mercy. Okay, that's a very good point, because what I'm going to say next is that it is our church, just this church, forget the other Adventist churches or any other churches, just this church right now. We work with people, we go to school with people, we are neighbors to people, we shop with people, we meet people, we have friends, we have family. We are constantly influencing people by our lives, and people influence us, right? But we know that we are the light of the world, and that we need to bring this light to everyone around us. So how, as a church, do we deal with our current environment? And what am I talking about, the current environment? You know, since the election of 2016, people have gotten divorced over the election. People have killed each other over the election. People have defriended each other over the election. People have called people vile names because of the election. And we live in this world. We live 2 years after the election. Are we the people who are out there just burning down the buildings? Do we know the people who are calling all kinds of people they don't know names and saying that they're this or that or the other thing? Are we going along with it, or are we the light? Is God's mercy seen through us to the world? Are we just piling on, or are we, no. That's not who we are. The Ten Commandments, you know, the one of the commandments that I want to bring out that has to do with this is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. How much of that are we seeing? How much of that?
Every day.
Every day. We're seeing people calling people all kinds of names without knowing them. You must be a this, you are that. And what side are we on? Are we one side or the other? Or are we with God? Are we being the light to the world? How can society be degenerating in front of us and we just stand like, yeah, whatever, yeah. There's people out there who are lost in hate. They're just like hateful people. And we work with them. We're their friends. I think that it's important if we don't stand up for the truth of God and be a light and salt to the earth like the Bible says that we are supposed to be, what are we doing here? Yes, that the fruits of the Spirit comes to mind. That's very important. So how do we apply the light to the current environment? How do we live? How do we change the society? I know that things are going to go awry, and they're going to go, we know the end from the beginning, but we can't just go along for the ride. We must stand up for the truth at all times, at all times. So when someone says something nasty about someone else, you know, for one thing, you can just not pile on. You know, I have a team of people that I work with, and we work in a big organization, and there are a lot of different teams. And you know, if you worked with organizations like that, you know the teams are against each other, and they're trying to work together, but ultimately, yeah, they're competing. And well, I have these responsibilities, and I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. So my team comes to me a lot and says, "This person is this, and this is." Okay, well, just, I always try to, okay, yeah. So what are we going to do? How can we fix the situation? How can we help? I think that's as Christians, that's how we should approach everything. Even if it's not just me, how will Christ help the situation? How will bringing the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ into the situation make changes, make the proper changes? Now I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty here, some of the issues that we face, because we mentioned the angry political, but how about race and gender and diversity issues? I'll give you an example. Something that reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, something that happened at work a few months ago, actually last year. We had diversity training, right? And of course, because I come from, you know, a church like this, and you just saw my family, you know, if that's not diverse, I don't know what is. I just thought it was a waste of time. But it started by the woman explaining how there are people who, you know, who are a certain gender and they want to be called another gender. And I said, I'm thinking to myself, just think as Christians, what does that mean? As Christians, it doesn't mean, well, I'm not going to. No, as Christians, I mean, okay. Because God is still there. Jesus still died. She still died for those sins. And my getting all upset or saying whatever doesn't make a difference. Huh? It makes it worse and makes me look like not a Christian, because a Christian is supposed to be loving and kind at all times, be light to the world. So I'm thinking, but the thing that bothered me is that she was asking us to tell her what our preferred pronouns were. And that's where I'm like, oh, I don't want to play that. So then I felt like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and I was like, you know, is that something that should I die on that hill? I don't know. So I decided that I wasn't going to die on that hill. Luckily, or thank God, I should say, I was sitting in the back of the room, and the first person that was going to say their name and say what they did and give her the preferred pronouns was in front, and he was my friend Lydell. And when it came to him, he said his name, what he does, and she goes, and what are your preferred pronouns? And he said, I don't care. And she says, no, you prefer, I don't care. Oh, okay. So she went to the next person. Internally, I went, yes, because now I felt like there's two of us. I'm just looking for the third so we can go into the fire, right? No, there's two of us. Now I can I can handle this. And it came to me, and I said, I said my name and what I do, and I said, you can call me whatever you want. No, whatever you want to call me. My boss was two seats away from me, and I'm thinking he's going to call me into the office. You know, you should have played along. But it all went fine. But I think that as Christians, we should be very much aware of the world around us, these things that are happening. And I'm telling you, rights are being taken away, because if you don't play, I know people in my hospital who made the mistake. It was just a mistake, an honest mistake. A man presented with a card, insurance card, to get health care. They turn around to make a copy of their insurance card. The insurance card said Mary. And then she came back and said, thank you, ma'am. And Mary was very upset. And this person was reprimanded because she didn't, So it's, you know, this is just the start, people. This is getting worse and worse. But we as Christians have to decide, what are we going to do? Because I'm telling you, if we stand for truth, at some point, they're going to come knocking at our doors. That's how it's going to start. So at some point, the Sabbath will become an issue. But in between then, we could be in jail already. And if we haven't made decisions about how to act and how to live, what I would suggest to you is to live according to the Word of God. If we love people, regardless of what they want to be called, love them. Treat them like any other sinner, because after all, they're just any other sinner, just like me. The world, that's what the world needs. The world has enough of angry people. It needs a few light-bearing people. Yes, yes. And again, we should be the adult in the room. We should be the hands and feet of Christ. We should be the heart of Christ, the mercy of God, the grace of God we should be. There are other issues that are affecting religious liberty today that we may not be aware of. This morning we're talking in Sabbath school about how easy it is to turn someone against you, especially with social media nowadays. If you think of the Covington boys, who knows what I'm talking about, Covington boys, okay? Okay, in case you don't know, the Covington boys were just kids who were minding their own business, standing, waiting for their bus, and someone took a short video of Native American men approaching them and playing a drum on one of the kids' faces, and it went viral, and the kid didn't move, he just smiled. What was presented to the world after that? The boys were disrespectful, they're hateful, they were wearing MAGA hats, some of them, okay? But everything that they said about the story was not true. Not true at all. In fact, what had happened is that the boys had were standing there waiting for the bus, and there was a group of, I don't know if you've heard of them, that was the first time I heard of them, Black Hebrew Israelites. I had never heard of them before. And they were berating them, and it was ugly. And then they started chanting just to kind of dry them down. And then the Indian man approached them. It turned into a whole big to-do to where right now the boy that went viral, he's suing the Washington Post for $250 million. If he gets 10% out of that, I want to be his friend. But things can turn on us. Someone could take part of what I said today and splice it, and the Adventist church down the road is whatever they want to call us. We need to be aware of this. There are a lot of religious liberty issues that are happening right now. One issue that's happening that you're probably not aware of, most likely not aware, but it's happening under the covers, and it's a big movement. And one other thing that I want to tell you about all these things. When you hear people's reactions in the news media, when they call people's names, they just blanketly, everyone is this, whether it's racist or this or that, just think that's a shiny object. Don't fall for it. That's a distraction. But in case people don't know, our church is officially a pro-life church. And abortion is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. So it's fine to discuss it here, right? Our church is a pro-life church. Our church has a statement about pro-life, about how we view life, but it also has a very merciful, not like other churches, very distinct, I think, and I like it because it says, that doesn't mean that if a person has had an abortion that we should shun them. And no, We're all children of God. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We should treat everyone with the love and grace that God has for us. But if someone stands firmly against abortion, you know how the world around this is. In fact, the Covington boys, that was an issue, is that they were there for the March for Life. So they were attacked mercilessly on the media because they knew these are abortion pro-life people. As a church that reads the Word of God, how do we just go the world, oh, yeah? Or do we say, no, but guys, calm down. Listen to what people are saying about other people. That command that we talked about before, bearing false witness against your neighbor, is a very important commandment. Don't just go along with the crowd that they're saying this about them, so it must be true, because it's going to happen to us. We shouldn't do it not because it's going to happen to us. We shouldn't do it because it's wrong. We should not bear false witness against our neighbor. It's just wrong. One of the things that are happening right now, and we're very much involved, is the religious liberty issue. And a lot of churches are involved in this. And they're calling us name, and they throw us under the bus, and we're just crazy people, is the vaccine issue. And you hear all the measles outbreaks? You've heard all the measles outbreaks? It's a shiny object. It's a shiny object. The last time someone died of the measles was in 2003, I think. Has anyone had measles here? Who has had measles? If you're old enough, we've all had measles, right? Why are they saying that somehow the world is going to end because of measles? They want to, exactly. They want to inject you for, please know, for example, one of the reasons we're so against it is because many of those vaccines have aborted fetal cells. Did you know that? Not all of them. Many of them have aborted fetal cells that commingle with your DNA. And the United States is the country of the developed countries that has the highest incident of infant mortality in the world. How can that be? How can that be? Think about it. Why? No, and it's not because of abortion.
No, it's death.
It's death. You know, it's just kids are dying. Kids are dying at a higher rate in the United States than other countries. And the people who stand against that are being called names. This is all happening before we get to the Sunday Blue laws. The point of the sermon is look around. Pay attention to what's going on around you. There are people suffering who need to know the truth of the gospel and who are being persecuted for many things, and we're just waiting for the Sunday Blue laws to come, and we're not joining in with them. They're going to come after us one day, and you know that saying that says, they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, so I didn't say anything. They came for the this, and at the end, there was no one there to stand up for me. I'll read this verse one more time, and just think of how important it is for us to be the light to the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people like light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they can praise you, right? So letting the light shine before others is not so that you could look good. It's for what purpose? For the glory of God. If we don't live for the glory of God, if we're living for just living for, you know, paying the mortgage, doing this, whatever. I mean, again, when the fiery furnace gets there and we just feel a little bit of the heat, we're going to turn and run the other way. In order for us to be willing to walk right into the fire, we need to, as Christians, just be committed every step of the way. And I'm not. Trust me, I really struggle to say, you can call me whatever you want. If Lydell had not said it, I don't think that I would have used it as an illustration here today. We're this close to not doing the right thing. Just be mindful, keep our eyes open, so that we know that when that time comes, when it really matters, we've already taken the right steps to receive Jesus. Yeah. What's the closing hymn?
6:18, stand up, stand up for Jesus.
Very apropos. Stand up, put Jesus.